that you want a little feedback on, so you can pick my brain. And that is why we goes a long, long way. So if you're with us last week, we're kind of doing a four-part series on change. Now, we mentioned, or I mentioned, that whether you're changing your habits or changing someone's mind or changing someone's attitude about your product or service, it all deals with change. And a lot of what we teach, what I teach is going to be used for you. If you want to change your habits, change your life, change your income, that's pretty similar to interested in your product or service. That all has to do with change. You have the power to change anything, and that's what we want to focus on. So to review a little bit from last week, we talked about the number one thing needed for change, and we talked about motivation and how there are different levels of motivation, different types of motivation, whether you're motivating yourself or motivating somebody else. It's a critical aspect. You get people, they might want to do it, but if they're not motivated to do it, that's, you can't change them. You've seen this in the business world quite a bit. They, you know, it'd be nice to have a cheaper product. It'd be nice to have an easier system. It'd be nice to finish the project on time. But the motivation sometimes is not there. Especially when you get into larger corporations where the status quo, don't rock the boat. Even though logically it makes a lot of sense, they aren't going to change. So motivation. So to recap that real quick, remember fundamentally there are only two motivators, inspiration and desperation. And that is critical to understand, because the way you motivate somebody in inspiration is different than the way you motivate somebody in desperation. And if you didn't listen to that call, you can review it. The website is persuasioniq.com/KurtCall. KURTCALL is where they post the recordings. They keep them there for a couple weeks. You're welcome to review them. You've probably noticed I'm very high content, so you can review them, or if you've missed a call, that's okay. And that's what we focused on, because motivation is a critical aspect of change. Even though they know they should eat better, or they know they should change their habits, or they know they should quit smoking, sometimes the motivation's not there. Sometimes they just don't care. And that's what I want to focus on a little bit today, because one of the questions we ended up with last week is, okay, sometimes it's all fine and good. You know what you're supposed to be doing, but you just don't have the passion or the drive. Maybe you don't know what your purpose is. Maybe just deep down you just don't care anymore. And that's a symptom that plagues our society quite a bit. So I want to address those things to help you out. So we're going to talk a lot about actually self-persuasion today, ability to change yourself. But again, the more you understand how you make changes in your life is going to help you change other people. So it has to be the same, whether it's you or somebody else, same form. So number one, we talked about last week, was motivation. For people to change, or for you to change yourself, there has to be some type of motivation to do it. Number two, we're going to talk about this week, is the knowledge. You have to have the knowledge to know how to do it. If somebody in high school is motivated to get straight A's or college, but they don't know how to do it, it doesn't matter. Somebody is motivated to do real estate, but they don't have the basic knowledge on how to do it, it doesn't matter. If someone's motivated to lose weight, but they don't have the basic knowledge as far as carbs and fats and the amount of calories and how much they should exercise, if they don't have that knowledge, it doesn't matter. It's great that they're motivated, but they're going to go around in circles and nothing's going to happen. So that knowledge is going to be a critical aspect. Knowing, going to the experts, finding mentors, whatever it is, finding the people that has the information that you need. Because something that's cost you already millions of dollars in your life is the phrase, I'll figure it out on my own. And that's not what successful people do. You don't have the time for that. Sure, you could do it. And maybe there's some times that's appropriate, but let me focus a little bit on personal development, then we're going to tap into a little bit about passion and purpose. It's interesting that successful people, as we do our studies, those that are earning the big bucks, they usually reinvest 5 to 10% of their income into their personal development program. Personal development's an interesting thing. A Harvard study shows that those who are learning and growing every day, they're more optimistic about life. They're more enthusiastic about where they're going, what they're going to accomplish. But those who aren't learning and growing every day become negative, pessimistic, doubtful about themselves and their future. So not only is it a great motivator, but you're learning the knowledge. If you look at the world knowledge base, what we know as a world, as a population, doubles every 6 years. It's just going so fast that if you're sitting by the sidelines thinking you know enough, it's not going to matter. And that's why they say personal development is like a bucket with a hole in it. You got to keep refilling it. You always hope that your heart surgeon didn't go to school 30 years ago, and that was the end of their personal development. That's what people are expecting about you, that you know the current market, you know what's happening. 95% of all homes worth over $1 million, they have a library. There's a direct correlation between the amount of TV you watch and how much money you make. That's just how it is. And contrary to popular belief, what you don't know will hurt you. So the knowledge here is critical, and as we monitor successful people, there's four things you can do. Depends how fast you want it. If you have all the time in the world, you can figure it out on your own. The next takes a little longer, books and maybe some CDs. And I hate to say this as an author, that, and you know this by the stacks of books that you have, the studies show that the chances that you read a book, complete it, and apply one thing from it is less than 1%. Books are important. I read every day, but then again, you can't learn to play basketball from a book, so it's a good start. The next is going to the seminar, spending 3 and 4 days with experts. The quickest way to success is having a mentor. That's the quickest. That's the fastest way to success is having a mentor. People ask me, well, which one should I use? And I say, all of them. Now, should you ever figure it out on your own? Sometimes. If you want to learn how to garden, my son and I, we love to do woodworking. We bought a lathe where we make bowls, and we've made a bat, a few other things. We've ruined a lot of tools. We've ruined a lot of wood, but we're having fun. It doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. So sometimes it's okay to figure it out on your own. Books. Sometimes you read a book, it's a good foundation, and you should always listen to CDs in your car. If it's something that you need to learn pretty fast, seminars is a great way to go. And if there's something that you need to learn right now that's holding you back, you find a mentor. That's what successful people do. When Donald Trump has a problem, he's a billionaire in real estate, he doesn't figure it out on his own. He doesn't go to the Yellow Pages to find the cheapest person possible. He finds the best.
Okay, that's
and that's
good.
The goals. Who's ever talking at Star 6? And that's the key. And that's what I've learned. I mentor people, and I get mentored every month. That's just kind of how I have different mentors I use every month, and I mentor people, and that's a sign of success, is that you're doing both. And that's important for you to have. That's personal development, having that knowledge. That is critical. So every day, read something, listen to something. In fact, success expert Brian Tracy says that if you can get yourself to read 30 minutes a day, you'll become a national authority in your field after 5 years. Reading, the CDs, whatever it is, that's very important. So you have to have the knowledge to change. If you want to be a millionaire in the stock market, in real estate, or network marketing, you're reading, you're learning, you're going to seminars, you're finding mentors. That helps people change. And also because you're rubbing shoulders with people who already made that change. They've already seen the what's around a corner for making those changes, and that's why it's so powerful. Learning. I'm a big advocate of personal development. Very, very important. You need to have that knowledge. So that's number two. Number one was motivation. Number two is that knowledge. Now, part of that is knowing yourself, knowing your passion, knowing your purpose. I'm a big believer. A good friend of mine, Mark Victor Hansen, he's the co-creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul. One thing that he always says that really just, I feel, is truth is, he says we're all DNA coded for greatness. And I believe that. There's something you can change in the world. There's some good that you can do. There's some greatness that you have. The challenge is most people, as I do seminars and talk to people, they don't know what that is. They think they're getting closer, not quite sure. They've tried something and maybe it didn't work out. And so the question to you is, what is that purpose and that passion? Last week when we talked about inspiration, when you have that internal inspiration, that passion, you become unstoppable. You're helps you with your motivation, that knowledge. You need to have that knowledge. So I want to help you do that. Find out what is it that what is your purpose? What is your passion? And it might not happen tonight. It might take a month for you to figure it out. It might take 2 months. Sometimes to figure out what your purpose or passion is, you have to find out some things that you don't want to do. I have some people get into real estate, and then maybe they want to spend more time with charities or spend more time on the internet. Doesn't matter. It's a lot like sculpting. You're getting closer. You know something's in there. You're sculpting a little bit here. You're getting closer. That is what we're looking for. A sculpting to find that purpose, to find that passion. So I'm going to give you some very pointed questions that I've developed over the years that when people can answer, they have tapped into their purpose or passion. Again, if you can't answer them today or tonight or this week, don't panic. Just write them down. Just think about them. Maybe answer one here, maybe answer one another week. again, we're tapping into that. And when you've done that, you don't need an alarm clock to wake yourself up in the morning. You're attracting different people in your life. You're more excited. You're sleeping less. You have more energy. You become enthusiastic. It's almost like a light bulb's been turned on inside, and people can sense something's different from you. Because in life, you're either working for your own goals or somebody else's goals. And when you tapped into your own purpose, when you're going after your own goals, that excites you. And that is a trait of successful people. That is a trait of millionaires. So let me give you those four questions. And, of course, if you have questions about the questions, you can stop me and ask a question. And we'll get into those. So here they are. So let's say, oh, your strange Uncle Frank has passed away, and he's left you $20 million. So now all of a sudden you have $20 million in the bank. And here's the question. What would you do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? So now you no longer have to worry about money. You've already taken care of all your plastic surgery, and you've already seen the world. Let's put that aside. Let's pretend that's happened. What are you going to do? You no longer have to worry about money. So question number one, what are you going to do? Okay? That's question number one. So you're financially free, no longer have to worry about money. What are you going to do? All right, here's the second question. You're walking on a beach, you find one of those lamps that has a genie, you rub the lamp, a genie appears. But this is a strange genie, and this genie will only give you one wish. But it has some stipulations on it, and here's what the genie says. The genie says, if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be? So that's your question. If you could change one thing in the world, what could it be? I mean, we could all probably list 100 things we'd like to change, but if you were able to, through a genie, right now, change one thing, what would it be? That is question number two. Question number three. You've lived a great life. You're 95 years old. You've lived a really good life. And you've accomplished everything you wanted. Everything's happened just like you imagined. So what I want you to do, and part of this, and again, this is tough, I want you to write your eulogy. So you're writing your eulogy like you're 95, you've accomplished everything you wanted. You can put anything you want in there. What is your eulogy going to say? I do this with my college students, and it freaks some of them out a little bit, and sometimes I get parents calling. I said, no, you're 95. It was the perfect life. Most people don't think past a month, 2 months, maybe a year. Well, you've designed your own life. You can decide. Do you want to be a published author? Do you want to be president? Do you want to be running a large charity? Do you want X amount of children, grandchildren, whatever it is? Put it in there. That is question number three. Question number four is if, how do I put this? I'll put it this way. Let's say if you were guaranteed success and you knew you wouldn't fail, what would you do? So you knew you would be successful. You could try anything you want. You were guaranteed success. Failure would never happen to you. You're guaranteed success. What would you do? It's part of it. That's, you know, you're using. What is the one thing that fear has held you back that you've wanted to do? You are guaranteed success. What would you do? What would you do? Now, those are thought-provoking questions. Maybe you know them right away. Maybe you've already tapped into your purpose, your passion, and good for you, because that creates an extra spark. Now we just need to come up with a game plan on how to fulfill that. But when you have that self-knowledge about what your DNA code for do, what you're going to change in the world, what you're going to do with your life, it makes a huge difference in what you're able to accomplish. So the personal development is a critical factor here. Learning the skills, because you can't change unless you have the skills. You can't be successful in the stock market unless you know about the stock market, real estate, network marketing, be an entrepreneur. And as you look at why most businesses fail, it's because of managerial incompetence. Most people didn't know. They didn't think they needed to know. And that's the important thing is you meet people is you can learn something from everybody. They'll teach you different things. They'll point you in the right directions. Find the mentors that you need to work. Read the material that you need to read. Have that personal development program. And then, of course, tap into to that purpose and that passion. Any questions on that so far? Anybody, does that make sense?
Yep.
There's a lot of, someone has a lot of background noise. You can always hit star 6, that'll mute you out. So one final thing I do want to point out, as we talk about purpose and passion, that self-knowledge, part of that too that will help change is tapping into your own personal happiness. Because when you're depressed, it's very difficult to change, even though you need to. You have to understand that in life, I hate to break the news to you, there's no reset buttons, there's no mulligans, there's no takeovers. You really need to enjoy the journey. That's how it is. And when the happier you are, the more successful you're going to be. And here's the question I ask people. Do you think millionaires are happier than the average person? Anyone want to answer that? What do you guys think? Anybody? Well, the answer in the research shows is yes. Now, a lot of poor people have told you they're not. But think about it. If you didn't have any bills to worry about, you had enough for retirement, you were spending more time with charities and giving back and helping out, you'd be happier. I mean, that's just how it is. But, you know, I have to understand money makes you more of what you already are. If you're miserable now, money's not going to fix things. But it does help. They say money doesn't buy happiness, and other people say, well, it helps you find things that do bring you happiness, and there's a lot of truth to that, too. What I want to point out, too, as we talk about purpose and passion, it does increase your happiness. You need to define what happiness means to you. But let me give you a few things why people aren't happy, and so you can kind of address those as you're looking for different things that you want to change in your own life or in change in other people's lives. Because you'll meet a lot of people that maybe real estate, they're depressed, they're not happy, they know they need to do something, but they won't. So this is a big piece of change, is tapping into that happiness. It's interesting that we have more conveniences than ever before, but happiness is an all-time low, depression is up, and here's why. A couple reasons. First reason people aren't very happy is they have no meaningful goals. No meaningful goals. Remember I talked about earlier that in life you're either working for your own goals or somebody else's goals. That's a big one. Because you think about the happiest times in your life, you're pursuing something, you're going after something, it was exciting to you. The second one, which is part of that, is right now in your life, something that's really holding you back is that you have conflicting goals. I want you to think about this week. What are your conflicting goals? Just like, oh, if you had conflicting messages from a control tower to an airplane, it wouldn't be able to land. And that's what's happening. If you have conflicting goals, you'll never hit the target. And we all have them because that's how we were programmed. Maybe you want to work for a large company for job security, but then you want to be an entrepreneur. Those could conflict. You want to reduce your debt, but a lot of times to reduce your debt, it takes more debt. Maybe you want to be spiritual, but then you also want to be wealthy. Now, I know those don't conflict, but for many people, those do conflict. You want to spend more time with your family, but now you're working on yourself and your financial independence, you're spending less time with your family. You want to have abundance, but deep down, you only believe in scarcity. It could be a simple thing like this. One of my goals is to be a great dad, tuck my kids in every night, read them stories, go to the sporting events. That's one of my goals. Another goal is to be a successful author and a trainer, which takes me on the road quite a bit. Do those goals conflict? Absolutely. Now, 90% of the battle here is identifying which goals are conflicting. And if I was able to identify that, reduces stress, increases happiness. I don't have the perfect system, but I've come with some solutions that help. And that's a huge part of it. You have conflicting goals. And the last part of why we aren't happy is lack of purpose. That's where that passion and purpose we talked about today, that's where it all comes together, is having that. That is critical. So as we talk about persuasion and influence and changing people's minds, changing people's attitudes, changing people's habits, again, it's whether it's for you or somebody else, it's the same formula. And we'll go over 3 and 4 the next couple of weeks. But so far, as we talked about change, the first one is there has to be the motivation there. Of course, that could be either internal or external. And there has to be that knowledge on how to do it and what matters and what numbers to put down, or whatever it is, you need to have that knowledge. And on the flip side of that, we talked about that knowledge of your purpose and passion, which increases your happiness, which increases your drive, which makes it that much easier for you to change or other people to change. Because when you're persuading somebody and you find out what their purpose or passion is, or you help them find it out, wow, the doors of persuasion swing wide open. They're much easier to persuade because you can influence and motivate them along the lines of their purpose and their passion. All right, so that's number two. Last week, remember, motivation. This week we talked about knowledge. You have to have the knowledge to know how to change. And this is a big challenge working with kids and teenagers. You try to motivate them to change, but deep down they don't know how to get better grades, or they don't know how to choose better friends, or they don't know how to not go to a party and drink. Whatever it is, maybe they just don't have the tools to do that, and that's what personal development does. All right, with that being said, are there any questions about what we talked about today, or any other questions you might have? I will take them.
No, I'm good. That was great.
Good. Appreciate that. Any questions out there? I got one question that was just emailed to me. I'll answer it. It was talked about when I talked about conflicting goals. To clarify that a little bit, we all have them. And it causes a lot of stress and discomfort in our life and unhappiness. We don't even know it. You want to be successful in your career, which is long hours at your office, but then you have a spouse or a family. There's a lot of tension there. And then the goal of being physically fit, there's tension there. All three of those could pull at you, from exercising to being successful at work and being there to being with your family or your spouse. It could pull at you. And the question talks about, how did I solve it with wanting to be with my children all the time and being a great dad versus being on the road? I mean, when I go to Asia on a book tour or doing a seminar in New York or whatever it is, I've gone 2-3 days sometimes, and that causes a lot of stress. Now, the first thing I want to point out again is that just identifying it is a huge relief. Even if you didn't come up with a solution, identifying it will give you a huge relief from your stress. That's number one. The way I handled it, if you wanted to know, is it's not perfect, but I'm getting closer, is I tend to take fewer speaking assignments. When I do fly to Asia, I don't fly over for one thing. I make sure there's 2 or 3 things, so I'm flying there. I'm there a little longer, but I'm there less because, you know, half the battle there is that flight. I make sure that if I'm doing maybe a 2-3-day training, I try to be home at least one day on the weekend with my family and my kids. Try to be back at least Sunday and spend time with them. I make sure most of those are during the school year versus the summer, because the summertime, the kids aren't in school, and it's better to be around more. Those are a few things that I've done that made a big difference. But again, the big part here is identifying it. All right. Next question that I've got here is talking about the four questions. Now, just from the tone of the question, it's like they want to answer these right now. I am going to give you patience. I'll try to here. This might take you a month. It might take you 2 months. Write the questions down when you're at a red light, before you go to sleep. If you have a time to be alone with your thoughts, just think about one at a time. Look them over. You might answer one here. For most people, it doesn't happen the first week or even the first month. You're sculpting, you're fine-tuning, you're getting closer. But when you tap into that, that light bulb's going to come on and you become unstoppable. So I don't want you to panic here. I do want you to think this week specifically, I want you to focus on conflicting goals. That is something you can do this week. This other one might take a little bit longer. And it might even be questions that you could ask a prospect that you're talking to that you're trying to persuade. And if you were doing real estate or network marketing, one of those, you could ask a question like that to tap into their purpose or passion. Because if you find their passion, they're much easier to persuade. When you ask, let's say, network marketing, you say, well, tell me, what does the perfect home-based business look like to you? And you just shut up and let them talk. And they talk about being able to work during the day and spending more time with their family, going to the sporting events, vacation more, and you keep hearing the family, 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 family. Then you know you need to package your whole presentation around that. If you're working in real estate and someone's getting all tense and uneasy and you can feel the anger coming out, you could use this one works very well. Well, if a genie appeared and made everything look perfect, what would that look like to you? Wow, that is a powerful question. So let me repeat that. If a genie would look like this, and you just keep saying, uh-huh. Well, tell me more. What does that look like? And tell me more about that. And by the time they're done, you're going to get a pretty good feel about their purpose and their passion. That'll help you motivate them in the right way. That'll help them make them change in the right way. That'll help you as a persuader. Remember, great persuaders ask 3 times more questions than the average persuader. When you're able to ask the right questions to find that purpose or passion in them, even if it's just a piece of it, they are much easier to persuade. And you can see their whole demeanor and their whole mood change. And that's a whole other topic. Mood matters in persuasion, but we won't address that one today. All right. Some other questions. Any other questions from the group on the phone?
This is Kurt Brady from Utah. I had kind of more of a comment than a question as far as focusing on the one things at a time.
You bet. Go ahead.
This is a quote I got out of a book called The Law of Concentration. It's about Thomas Edison. He was once asked how he was able to accomplish so much. He said, it's really very simple. I mean, you and I have 18 hours a day in which we may do something. You spend that 18 hours doing any number of different things, unrelated things usually. I spend it doing just one thing, and some of my work is bound to amount to something. So, again, that's out of the book called The Law of Concentration. Great book, talking about what you're talking about tonight.
Yeah, that is powerful because we spread ourselves so thin, and we think that just because we're busy, we're accomplishing something. And, when you teach time management, he said you can be busy all day long and accomplish nothing. So he had the ability to focus on that one thing to control his thought because, attention spans are all-time low. And if you have the ability to do that, to focus, to concentrate, and it's so much easier when you're working on your purpose and your passion, and that's what he did. He was passionate about what he did. It was very easy. Well, I don't say it was easy, but he was able to learn to just tune everything out and concentrate on that. And even people like Einstein couldn't remember if they were coming or going from lunch. They were so focused in what they were doing that was inconsequential. They were just that. So that power focus, that power concentration, I agree 100%. It's very important, an attribute of those that are very successful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments, questions out there? All right. Well, thanks for being on the call. Remember, it's posted at persuasioniq.com/Kurt, K-U-R-T, call, C-A-L-L, one word. So we're focusing on change. We talked about motivation. We're talking about personal development. In the next couple of weeks, we'll fill in that formula for you. So with that being said, everyone have a great week this week. Identify your conflicting goals, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kurt.
You bet. Good night, everyone.